Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What Do You Collect? And I am your host, Evan Jenkins. And I took last week off only because I wanted to talk a little bit this week about the NFL draft and the players that came out and which players would really be the most valuable when it came to cards, and even more specifically about the Lions. Now, if you follow along with any of the card collecting with football, it does seem like the Lions are really only going to have, I don't know if there's going to be any really valuable cards this year. I mean, offensive lineman cards, like Penei Sewell is an amazing player. He is a great pickup for the Detroit Lions. I just don't know if his value is going to be up there with other rookies that will be gracing the trading cards this year. And of course, you know, Trevor Lawrence went number one, and he already had his Topps cards come out, which coincidentally are supposed to arrive at my house today. So wish me luck that I get one of those autographed Trevor Lawrence cards, as they were one every five boxes, and then you can get parallels, and the autographs are selling for 500 plus, because I don't really know if collectors are going to value these top cards as his like true rookie card. Because I do believe most collectors want that first card in the uniform to be that true rookie card. And that's even the case with NBA cards, where, for instance, I collect the Prism Collegiate because I like them in their college uniforms. I think it's really cool. But the Prism NBA is the true rookie card that people actually want, or Hoops or Donruss or whatever it might be. And now football is a little different. They have the Prism, and Topps is, you know, coming back into the football fold. But I'm going to guess, you know, the likes of Kyle Pitts, his cards are going to be very expensive. I guess Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, and then, of course, the quarterbacks, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and even Mac Jones with the Patriots. Those are going to be very high-valued cards when they are released, which I can't wait for. I know it's going to be extremely hard to be able to get these cards, whether it's on Panini's website or you're trying to grab blaster boxes in Meijer or Target or Walmart or wherever you might go to get those. But it does seem like it's going to be very, very hard to get them, but we'll see. I also think Najee Harris, his rookie cards are going to be huge. He landed in like the best spot possible for a running back that's going to be a rookie, and that's with Pittsburgh. I've always liked Pittsburgh, and when they draft in the first round, it seems like their picks always pan out, so you would expect that for him. But you know, the Lions drafted not the sexiest positions in receiver or quarterback, but offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, and then, you know, you got Jamar Jefferson in the seventh round, the running back from Oregon State, who was the Pac-12 player of the year, and they do say his pro day is what knocked him down a little bit, so we'll have to wait and see with that. But he's going to get a fair shot with the Lions cutting former second-round pick Kerryon Johnson only 3 years into his career, which I thought he would have a chance to succeed here. But hopefully, you know, he's such a good guy, a nice guy, a hard worker that, you know, his career has been hampered by injuries, and that's even been in college where he had a torn ACL and he wears this bulky knee brace. And I wish the best for him. Jefferson is going to have a chance to shine behind Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift in the Detroit Lions backfield. Which now brings me to our guest this week. And it's not necessarily trading cards. It's not sports memorabilia. It's not the things or sneakers like I absolutely love. And I hope I get these Jordan 11s here at 10 o'clock this morning. But all signs are pointing to not getting them, since sneakers app is extremely hard to get shoes on now. And they're all drawings and I really hope everything is on the up and up, but boy, I can't get any shoes that I want anymore. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm going to bring back Roberto Beauchesne. Roberto first talked to us about his vinyl collection, but how do you play all that vinyl? How do you play your love for music? Is it a turntable? Is it an 8-track? Is it a cassette? Is it a CD? Is it an MP3? Well, Roberto collects all of these machines from the 70s, the 80s, and whatever gives him the best sound. And when you like music, I guess you really do want to hear it the best way possible. So without further ado, you hear him on Valeni and Rico Monday through Friday on 97.1 The Ticket, and also this app, the Odyssey app that you're listening to, Roberto Beauchesne. All right, well, Roberto is my first return guest on What Do You Collect? And I wanted to talk to Roberto today because he has a collection that I would say not many people are going to have nowadays, and that is old recording equipment, old playback equipment. I don't even know really how to describe it, but the tape players that you and I used when we were kids, the 8-tracks, the DVD players, I mean, you have all of this stuff, right?
Well, you need to be able to play every format. So I have, you know, I have 8-tracks that I collect. I have cassettes that I collect, CDs, yeah, DVD, everything. So you need those players. So and people that listen to vinyl records and analog recordings really like the vintage equipment, like an old receiver. I have a stereo receiver from like the year I was born that I bought. It was still in the box, still had the manual. It's called a Sansui. So Sansui was a Japanese-made receiver back in the day. That it's like a tank. You can't kill the thing. I mean, this thing is, it's loud, it's heavy, and that's what people want. Because now when you go buy a receiver, let's say you go to Best Buy and you buy a receiver, it's all plastic parts, it's all junk. It'll maybe last you a year or two.
So it is kind of like they don't build them like they used to type deal.
I know, I hate
right?
to sound like that, but that is true.
You get what you pay for, and I think even more so with audio equipment, in which we know, working in this business, that if you want it to sound right, you have to have the right equipment. So whether it's a microphone that you're recording with or even the cords that you're using to plug into the wall or to your input source, your machine you're saying is from what, like 1980?
1980, yeah. And it's, you know, because what's happening now, though, is that the prices since I probably bought that 5 years ago.
Okay.
And since then, I would say it's probably like, you know, at least doubled in price, at least. And that's sort of the mid range of the vintage market. But there's a brand called Marantz.
Yeah.
That the Marantz receivers that were made in the 70s sell for $1,200, $1,500, up to $2,000.
The sound, is it that much different to the average Joe that's listening? Like if you put me into a room and you had one receiver that's old, or your Japanese receiver and a brand new one, would I be able to hear it? And I'm a little bit
I don't know.
Above your average Joe when it comes to listening to sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just perspective, I guess. I mean, for me, I do hear it. When I started collecting vinyl, I would just use some crappy receiver. Then when I got a little more money,
sure,
you upgrade a little bit. You go, oh, there's some little things in there I didn't hear before. And then you start to go up 3-4 more tiers. Every time I invest more, I hear things that I had never heard before in recording.
And is that from being able to adjust like mids and highs and stuff like that on a certain receiver? Or is it really you're able to hear like a tambourine in the back that you wouldn't be able to?
Yeah, it depends. Some purists say like, how dare you ever use an equalizer on something? But in my thing, it's like, well, you got to tailor it to the room. You know what I mean? The room has to be sort of, that's why you use an equalizer, because the speakers are hitting the walls, or you know, it's bouncing off everything in the room. So you have to kind of tailor that to it. But another piece I have that is so cool is the Akai GX77 reel to reel machine.
Okay, and
it was the last
that's ever worked in radio or went to a radio school. These things are awful. It's like what you see in almost like, when you watch Christmas Vacation and Clark Griswold's watching that movie, that's a reel-to-reel from movies.
Right, so projector, right, yes. Right. So, but this one was cool. I never, ever, ever, I looked for years on Craigslist, never thought I would see this, and one day, boom, there it is. Because it was the last reel-to-reel machine that Akai ever made.
Really?
They were going out of style, so it was probably like 1985.
Sure.
Was the last model, this one they put out. That's really what you want to look for, because that really is like the pinnacle of mixing sort of digital display with analog, and it just looks super cool. It looks all like robotish. It looks like a transformer.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a dumbass question here, but what do you play on this machine? Like, is it a tape? Is there a bigger version of a cassette tape that you would use?
Yeah, so it's reel-to-reel tape, so there's two reels, and then you could go on eBay, and I think you can even buy new tape now on Amazon, like reel tape.
Yeah.
You know? And then you would put that on there, and what a lot of people do is they record onto the tape. So they'll put the vinyl on and then record it to tape.
Okay.
That way it's still all analog. There's no digitizing of it whatsoever.
And that's what I was wondering. Like when an artist in the 80s and they released, I guess, let's say like 1990, right? Let's say, I don't even know, MC Hammer releases a song, right?
Yeah, that was probably like the end, the last like year maybe of tape. You know,
so they would have recorded on, they would have had cassette tape, right? They would have had a digital disc, a CD.
Yeah, which is becoming popular.
A vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Would they have still made an 8-track?
No, the last 8-tracks probably came out in like 1985. So the last, like if you were to find like anything that came out in 84, 85, like if you found... I mean, even like Michael Jackson Thriller on 8-track is hard to find, or like Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA, those kind of things are the last end of it.
Okay.
And then that same thing happened with cassettes. I think maybe what, the last time you could buy a cassette was probably like 2002 or
something. Yeah, maybe. And I see like Eminem releases his albums on cassette, but I think that's only because of his love for cassette tapes.
And the weird thing that you end up finding out with this stuff is my conception for years, and people always have the same connotation, is... Well, cassettes sound like shit. Why would you collect that?
But do they?
You know, they sound shit in your car. They get eaten, or they, you know, the stereo, they hiss.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But that's just because when you're a kid and you're using it and you don't have the high-end stuff, that's going to do that. When you really spend the money on this stuff, you take very good care of it. You clean it every time you use it.
Okay.
And the adjustments that have to be made per tape that you put in there, which is a huge pain in the ass.
Okay,
but you do it.
So now when you're sitting in your basement, you have the ability to do this reel-to-reel. You have 8-track, you have CD, you have cassette, and you have MP3. Right. Out of those five, what sounds the worst to you?
I mean...
If you had eight, one of each from the same album, I'm saying.
Probably 8. I mean, 8-track is sort of pretty silly, you know, concept, just because it was, I don't know. But I like it because it just brings you back to when,
sure,
you know what I mean?
Nostalgia to it.
It sounds cool. You're like, man, this is how it sounded back in the day. You know what I mean? So that's what's cool about it. But it can get pretty wonky sometimes, and the tapes get eaten a lot and ruined. And I'm like, oh, I just spent $15 on that on eBay, and now it's gone.
So does it piss you off to see music digitalized and you can now get the MP3s and stuff like that?
Yeah,
Is that taken away from music at all?
Yeah, I mean, I get mad. Well, people, they don't, you know, if you're not educated, you don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people just go on YouTube, grab the link, put it into the converter, the online converter, and then they go listen to it. That is probably like a quarter of the quality of the actual recording.
Okay.
So the cool thing is that, you know, there's all these, I can't think of the name of the websites now, but they have all these... you know, where you can download, if you want a digital copy of a certain album, you can download it as a WAV file, uncompressed at the highest quality.
Okay.
You can get it.
So that's the way to go if you're listening to music digitally like that.
Yeah.
Do you have like an original Sony Walkman? I feel like that's got to be pretty collectible.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't, but they are. They're expensive. Like the first ones that came out are pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, think about all the rage behind a Walkman.
Did you have a cassette one?
Oh, yeah. Not Sony. My parents were never going to buy me that.
No, that was like the Jordans of Walkman.
No, it was like the Prada of freaking cassette.
I would have like a Sanyo.
Yeah, like, or even worse, like something you got at CVS.
That RCA.
$8 or Radio Shack, which I don't even think Radio Shacks exist. But, I mean, or think about like portable CD players that you would walk around.
Oh, God, I remember that. They'd skip all the time.
It was awful.
Then they had to put the anti-skip thing.
Yep, and if you didn't have the anti-skip, I remember we went to Washington, D.C. when I was like 14, 15 years old. It was an awful trip. My parents made me drive with them, and that's a long drive. But I remember I listened to DMX's second CD over and over and over again, except for one song, because it would continuously skip.
Yeah.
And it would piss me off so bad.
I remember that. The first car I had was an 85 LeBaron.
Oh, nice.
And it was an old school Chrysler that
was
still had like the silver face stereo with a cassette.
Yeah.
And I remember I was so like, thought I was so cool that I went and bought like the mount. Remember, there used to be like this mount that you would mount the portable CD player on.
Oh, yeah.
And then that would go to a cassette and the cassette would go into the stereo.
It was awesome, wasn't
it? Stupid.
But
then think back. I think it was probably 2000 when I got my first MP3 player.
Oh,
and it was before iPod.
Well, there was like these Zunes. There was.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bulky and crappy, and it would just show like track one, track two.
Which
track
was fine.
Three. It would probably only hold like 10 songs.
Well, what's crazy.
But it was great for going to the gym.
I have like my original iPod that has like the wheel on it. And
yeah, those
stuff.
Are getting collectible.
Are they really? Yeah. Because, I mean, it was really cool to see that. But like, when was the last time you bought a piece of music that wasn't vinyl? Like, when was the last time you picked up a CD from a store or a cassette tape or anything like that?
Not a new one. I mean, yeah. I mean, I buy it just because for, like old stuff I buy. But, no, a new band, a new CD from a band, I haven't done that in years, probably.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
I know.
Like, think about the stores. You and I both grew up on the East Side, and we would go to Lakeside Mall. Think about, like, Record Time that was in there.
Yeah, I love that. There was, like,
Harmony House was in there.
Yeah, I remember in like Grosse Pointe, there would be the Harmony House on like, you know, 8 and Mac or whatever. And
I mean, but think about how cool that was. That like Outkast would drop a new album, and guess what? Outkast is signing that album in the store. Like, we don't see that anymore.
No, I mean, I worked in a record store pre-computers, pre-internet. So a guy comes in, he wants, who does this song? I want to buy it. We would have these big-ass books, and you'd flip the pages and try to look for the song, okay? Then you find out the song and who does it. Now you got to look up your catalog of the distributor that can get it to you.
Yeah, but wasn't that fun?
And you'll be like, okay, it'll be here in like 7 days. You come back, we'll have it. Well, you got to wait 7 days.
I mean, think about, like, for instance, the field that we work in, sports, right? Before the internet, how did these guys ever do shows looking up stats or quotes?
Newspaper.
Wild, right? But now we sit here, and you can play your music on all these different things. I think it's really cool because I love audio, I love music, and I love the different sounds from different speakers. And is that something that you get into, too, are speakers? Because I notice, like, some are way better for some music compared to other music.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, if I had the money, I would definitely invest in. There's certain brands, you know, that I you know, would endorse or whatever, but I just do the best I can with what, you know, what I can afford, you know what I mean? So I just try to find, you know, you always hit up Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, and you'll trade up or trade, you know, do a trade with somebody.
So certain speakers I notice can last a very long time.
I have ones from mid to late 80s.
They
still sound great.
Is it to actually have that speaker powered on and, like, I don't even know if playing is the right word, but to get it warmed up to actually play the music? Because if I were to turn on, let's say I bought some big 12-inch woofer, right?
Right.
It's not going to sound as good as it does when you first plug it in as it does when it's warmed up.
Well, and that's a crappy thing, too, nowadays, where everyone has Bluetooth to a speaker,
yes.
Right? And why I don't like that, because it's only one speaker. I like stereo.
Yes.
Stereo means a left speaker and a right speaker, and there's separation between them, and different things are fed to each
yes.
side of it. So,
which is really cool.
I don't like those one speaker boxes or whatever the fuck.
Isn't that funny, though? Just that, like, how.
But no one cares.
Nobody cares. The sound quality has changed so much, and I'm thinking of just back to when, you know, you mentioned 2000, 2001, I had a single cab truck with two subwoofers in it,
right?
Because I loved bass.
But that was the big thing then.
I know, but I feel like that's almost gone away within music even. I mean, like in rap, like think about like Nelly. I knew his music because of the bass lines. That's not really important anymore, is it? Is it just changed because people have changed?
Well, that's what's cool about having like a good stereo system, though, is that you can hear, like, put it this way, I can be in my car, or I can be in the supermarket and hear an old song from the 70s on there, and I'm just hearing the littlest tiny bit of, like, bass guitar or a
right.
certain cymbal or something. I go home and put that record on, I got all of it. The bass is right there in your face. Every note, everything is right there. And, I mean, the cleaning process is fun, too. I mean, it's a pain in the ass. People would look at me and go, like, why are you spending 15 minutes cleaning a record that's only going to play for 15 minutes?
Well, because you want the best out of it, right? I mean, like, people ask me, why do you clean your golf shoes when you're just going to go back? And I'm like, because I want a nice-looking golf
shoe.
Right. I mean, it is what it is, and you get what you put into it.
Like,
if you
people
take
can't
care
believe,
of
like,
something.
People go like, what's that in my house? I'm like, oh, that actually vacuums the records.
Well,
when the water gets off.
But you don't want dust on them, right?
That's the worst thing. That's the worst.
And it's just so funny.
That's why people always put that with vinyl records as the click and pop is what people call it, right?
Oh, really? That's dust.
That's dust and a dirty needle. Right. Okay. So when you keep everything clean and use products to clean with, you will never, in my records, you'll never hear that.
That's great. Is there a piece of equipment that you want to go out and that, like, you've looked for and you just can't get, but you would pay top dollar for it if you found it? Like, is there one receiver or... Because I think it is cool that you collect all of this equipment that maybe is never going to be used again.
Yeah. But it goes up in value. So, I keep it in mint shape, so, you know, I can... Hopefully it'll really
or
go up.
Sirwin Vega speakers or
those
like
those are good. One, my dream, and there's a guy on YouTube that I've been watching his videos for years, and we've actually been corresponding lately. And
you got a little crush.
Yeah, he has these. They're called Martin Logan speakers, and they're electrostatic, which means they're not this kind of speaker.
Oh, so it doesn't have a subwoofer.
It's flat.
Wow.
It's only about this thick.
Okay.
About 2 inches or something. And they're big like this, the big panels that come down, and the sound is transmitted through like these like wires.
Now that's cool.
And then there is a subwoofer on the bottom.
What do those go for?
I think they're like $2,500.
And then nuts.
Actually, I went to a guy's house that was selling records, and he had those there, and I got to sit in a chair and listen.
Oh, really?
And it blew my mind.
You're just hard the whole time.
Yeah. And he offered me a crazy deal, and I wish I should have taken it, but I'm stupid. You know what else is good is Macintosh. You ever hear of
really?
The Macintosh stereo systems. You know, if you're not familiar with it, if you ever watched the movie Departed,
yeah,
it's in Matt Damon's house. He has all the green lit. Macintosh system in there, and that's some expensive stuff.
Is it really?
It's all like handmade, I guess.
The last question I want to ask, and I've always wondered this, going to concerts, right? Especially like rap concerts, that's a lot of what I've been to. Why do those speakers suck so bad that they put in there?
Oh, like the PA?
Yeah, or just like in general. Like, if you don't know what they're saying, you will not know because there's such heavy bass. Like, it kills me. You know what I'm talking about? Just those big-ass black box speakers.
They float up top or whatever. I don't know. I've been to some concerts where I'm blown away by the sound and the guy that's mixing it and putting it all together. And sometimes, I think it basically comes with the sound engineer.
The guy who's
running it. And you'll notice more like top-of-the-line bands will have the best guy. I mean, you go see Metallica or something, it's going to sound really good.
You might think this is weird, but like some of the best bands that I've seen were like the Lumineers. Like it's like five people, they sit up there with their instruments, it sounded great.
Right.
We saw Imagine Dragons at LCA. It's a bunch of people with their instruments again that sound great. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the backtrack that they're playing.
Well, that's the other thing too. Yeah, that's always crappy.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's all over the place. I mean, even though you can see a guy playing the drums on stage.
Yeah. But a lot of times they're not even mic'd, are they?
Right. Well, what happens, they put these little triggers on them that when he hits that drum, it triggers a sample, and the sample comes out of the speakers.
Really? Okay. Yeah. See, I've always wondered about that because I always take, like, anybody that has musical talent, I appreciate. I love to see it live. I think it's very intriguing to see live. But I think you're right. They're so worried about.
Oh, and I've seen Motley Crue, a lot of times, and they use backing vocals. Those guys, they're not really singing.
Oh,
it's all
crazy, huh?
Funny story is Paul Stanley from Kiss in his autobiography. When Kiss got back together in 1996 with the original members, Peter, Chris, the drummer, you know, he was up there in age. He's maybe 50 something and didn't have like the stamina. So they would put all samples on his drums. So when you look at him from the crowd. He was barely hitting the drums. I mean, he looked like his arms were broken. But this thunderous sound is coming out of the PA. It was crazy.
So do they still play live? I remember, when was it that they did that show? Was that New Year's? I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah, Dubai.
The one you were showing me with all the fireworks?
Yeah, broke world records.
Are they still playing live for the most part?
Well, because of all the pandemic and everything, that's slowed down. But, they still have a tour to finish.
I'm saying when they step on stage, are they still actually playing their instruments? I know they're touring. They'll tour until there's no more kissing going on.
There's been controversy with the lead vocals.
Really?
I know what one guy did on YouTube was he put four show. He took a waveform of the first song of four different shows, laid them on the timeline.
And they were all exactly the same.
And the vocal was exactly the same each four nights.
Well, any famous musical act that is listening to this, beware. There are people out there looking to expose you.
We're on to you.
So I appreciate it, Roberto. I think it's a cool collection. I think it's very unique, and that's what Do You Collect is all about, are unique collections that maybe I don't know, maybe I don't necessarily have a love for, but you do, and I appreciate it a ton, so thank you.
Bam.
And there you have it, Roberto Beauchesne. His collection is very unique. I love it. I love learning about it. And I also have a little bit of an interest just working in radio and seeing some of this equipment over the years. And when I was going to Specs Howard, and that was like 2004, so it's crazy how long ago it was now, but they had just gotten rid of reel-to-reel, and thank goodness, because that seemed like such a pain in the butt to cut the tape and this and that. It was really cool for me to hear that. Now, when I go out and I see stereo equipment, I'm definitely going to think of Roberto and send him photos and see if it is anything that he is interested in. But, of course, the podcast is for you, the listener, and I want to know what you've picked up, what you collect, what you are looking to collect. Maybe there's an item in your collection you just can't find, and maybe I can help out. So reach out to me on Twitter at King of the KC or Instagram at King of the KC or even by email, which is Evan, Evan, dot Jenkins, Jankens, at Audacy, AUDACY.com. And there's only one thing that I want to know, and that is, what do you collect?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.